highlights, and lessons learned from the 2019 CrossFit Open.
Welcome to the Paul Miners Podcast, the show that will help you to optimize your time, income, and lifestyle fast. Get more done with actionable, easy-to-follow advice and learn how to live life on your terms. And now, introducing your host, Paul Miners.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Paul Miners Podcast, to episode number 123. Thank you very much for tuning in today. And I want to start by saying thank you, big thank you, for the feedback I've been getting on some of the recent episodes, namely episode number 121, Let's Talk About Bitcoin. Got some great feedback and some great emails from people. Obviously, a lot of people share my passion and interest and enthusiasm in Bitcoin. So thank you for the great feedback. And as always, if you have feedback on this episode or any episode, you can get me on Twitter at Paul Miners, or if you're on my newsletter, email list, just replying to my emails is actually one of my favorite ways to hear from you. So feel free to email me. And a quick apology before I get into this episode. I might sound a bit funny or off today. I've got a bit of a kind of sniffly nose. Baby boy Jay came down with a bit of a cold the other day, and so Haley and I have inevitably caught it. Feeling okay, but just maybe sound a bit off and a bit sniffy. So let's get into today's episode, highlights and lessons learned from the 2019 CrossFit Open. And let me actually start by saying, if you are not a CrossFit fan, or if you have no interest in CrossFit, if you are sick of hearing from CrossFitters, this may not be the episode for you. But if you're still interested, and if you want to hear about how I apply productivity and my sort of analytical mind and way of thinking to keeping fit, keep listening. You might find this interesting. And actually, as well, if you are remotely interested in CrossFit, keep listening, because I think learning about the Open is a really great way to kind of hear what it's all about as well. So if you've never heard of the CrossFit Open before, what it is the Open is a worldwide competition that takes place every year over a 5-week period. And what happens is each week a workout is announced and everyone around the world competes to get the best score in that workout. And there are different divisions, and the workouts vary slightly for men and women and masters, older athletes, but essentially everyone is doing the same workout. So it's a global workout, great sense of community and involvement. Everyone's doing the same thing. And depending on how you do it at the in the Open, you can then get invited to do sanctionals and then go to the CrossFit Games, which is sort of the big sort of Olympics of CrossFit each year. So the Open is a great sort of community event that takes place. Now, a quick bit of history. I initially got into CrossFit after reading Brian McKenzie's book, Unbreakable Runner, because I was actually training for a marathon at the time. And the premise of this book is that you can use a style of CrossFit training to condition your body for long distance runs. And it means you don't have to go pounding the pavement for 3 hours at a time. So in a sense, it's a more productive way to get better at running. And so as you can imagine, I was very... This appealed to me instantly. I was very interested in this idea of a more productive way to get better at running. And that's one of the reasons I love CrossFit, is because when you start a workout, you need to find the most efficient way of completing the work while avoiding burning out. It's really about managing your energy and figuring out your strategy for how to tackle a workout in the most effective way. So going back to the Open, at the time of writing this, or recording this, I should say, my legs are literally still sore from the final workout that we did the other day, and that was a real challenge. I'm going to talk more about that in a bit. But overall, yeah, I'm really happy with my performance. Considering I've lost a few kilos in the last 6 months since our baby boy Jay was born, I've actually maintained my strength really well, so I'm really happy with that. Now, most people do the Open for a sense of personal achievement and participation, which is definitely my reason as well. I'm very competitive as well. I'm not going to lie. I will put my hand up and say I'm very competitive. And I love keeping track of my overall score at our gym and competing with people to get better scores, to get the best result I can. So I'm going to be sharing my experience throughout the Open and just sharing some of the highlights and lessons I've learned. So let's start with workout 19.1. And just to explain what that number means, it's called 19.1. The 19 refers to the year, so it's 2019, and it's open workout number one, 19.1. So 19.3 is 2019.3. So it means you can refer back to any workout, 17.4, you know, it was 2017, the fourth workout. So the first workout was a 15-minute couplet. A couplet means it was two movements. And you had to complete as many rounds as possible. So as many rounds as possible, that's abbreviated to AMRAP. If you've ever seen this before or heard what this word AMRAP, that's what AMRAP is. It's as many rounds as possible. And in 15 minutes, you had to do 19 war balls. A war ball is where you have a big ball Usually £20 for the men, which in New Zealand is 9 kilos, and women, £14, which I think is 6 kilos, and you have to throw it at a target, and it's slightly lower target for men, 9 feet, women, 9 feet, and men, 10 feet. So you have to do 19 times throwing the ball at the target. When you catch the ball, you actually have to squat down. So you catch it, you go into a squat, which means ass to the grass, and then you have to stand up and throw it at the same time. So you're using your legs and your shoulders a lot in that workout, in that movement. So you have to do 19 wobbles, and then you have to go on the get on the rower and row for 19 calories. So usually you aim to do 1 calorie per stroke, ideally. So it's about 19, you know, I'd say probably more like 20, 22 strokes on the rower. So those two movements, as many rounds as you can in 15 minutes. And it was a pretty good workout for me, as I don't mind these cardio-based workouts. My strategy was to find a good pace where I'm working at about 80% of my capacity. And then in the final sort of 2 or 3 minutes, ramp up the pace and go balls to the wall. That's the expression we use, which basically means putting in max effort towards the finish. And this plan worked really well. A few guys went out of the gate too hard, and I was able to actually catch up around 8 minutes as they began to fatigue. And going into the workout, I had a guy next to me who has always been really, I've always been really even with him. We're a really similar sort of level of fitness and strength and cardio ability. And during the workout, he got about 10 reps ahead of me, but I wasn't actually paying attention as I began to then catch up. And on the final row, I caught up with him, so we were about neck and neck. We got onto the final wall balls with about 30 seconds to go. I didn't even realize as I then overtook him. Unfortunately, I was not paying attention, and I still thought I was about 10 reps behind. So with about 5 seconds left on the clock, my shoulders were done, and I threw the ball one more time, and then I didn't catch it. I just let it fall to the floor, and I walked away. I just thought, 5 seconds, that's nothing. There's no point throwing the ball again. It's not going to make a difference to my points on the leaderboard. I then learned that we tied the workout. We got the exact same number of reps, which I'm looking on my phone now. We both got 276 reps in the 15 minutes, which actually, if I go to my app, I can tell you for that workout, I was in the 80th percentile. So top 20%. That's not bad. That's not bad. Anyway, my big takeaway here is that I should have been paying attention, and I should have been watching my surroundings, and I should have used every second on the clock and not stopped until the very end. 5 seconds sounds like nothing, but I could have got an extra rep. It would have made the difference, and I was really, really needed those points later on in future weeks when I was chasing the third spot at our gym. I wanted to come top three. I really needed those points. So that was my big takeaway, is I should have just kept going using every second possible. So 19.2, my big moral, my sort of theme for this workout is around breaking down the workout. And 19.2 began with 8 minutes on the clock. And in that 8 minutes, you had to complete, firstly, 25 toast bar. If you don't know what a toast bar is, you're basically hanging off a pull-up bar, and you've got to get your toes to touch the bar. This is usually done by kipping. So you kind of swing your legs up, and then as you bring them down, you swing them back up. So it's kind of a circular motion to swing your legs and do it very efficiently. Once you've done 25 toes to bar, you do 50 double unders. Double unders is basically skipping, where the rope passes under your feet twice per jump. You then have to do 15 squat cleans. If you don't know what a squat clean is, imagine a barbell on the floor. I'm going to do my best explaining this on the podcast, by the way. I know it's probably a bit funny to picture. Anyway, imagine a barbell on the floor. You're kind of crouched or bent over next to it. You have to lift it off the floor, and very quickly you have to throw your elbows underneath so that you end up catching the bar in what's called the front rack position. This is basically where the bar is sitting on your chest, your hands are under it, and you're holding it as if ready to push it above your head. So once you've got it in that front rack, you then have to squat down again, ass to the grass. Then you can put it down. So you have to do 15 squat cleans at 135 pounds for men, which is about 62 kilos. Once you'd finished that, you then had to do the same thing, 25 more toes to bar, 50 more double unders, and 13 squat cleans, but at a higher weight, which was 185 pounds or 83 kilos. So the reps went down, the weight went up. If you then completed that before 8 minutes, you get 4 minutes added to the clock, and you proceed to do it again, 25 toes to bar, 50 double unders, and 11 squat cleans at 225 pounds, which is about 101 kilos. And then it kept going with more 4 minutes and higher weight. Anyway, I wasn't even going to get that far. So going into this workout, my first priority was to get past that first time cap of 8 minutes. I knew that's a lot of work to get done in a pretty short amount of time, so I decided to break down the workout to determine just how fast I needed to go to get past that time cap. I worked out that if I could do the toaster bar and double unders in about 1.5 minutes, including transition time between the movements, because you have to, you know, stop and then get your rope and there is a transition, for those two rounds, because you have to do it twice in 8 minutes, that would take 3 minutes. So that would leave me with 5 minutes to do all of the cleans. My plan was to do the toaster bar in sets of 15 and 10 to make up that 25 and do the double unders unbroken. And I thought, yep, I should be able to do that 1.5 minutes each. Then, for the first set of 15 cleans at the lower weight, I thought I could probably do that in about 2 minutes. That would leave me about 3 minutes for the heavier set. So it's lower reps, I know, but it's going to be heavier. I'll need a bit more time, so about 3 minutes. I then took it a step further, and I divided those 15 reps by 2 minutes, or 120 seconds, and I arrived at a pace of about 8 seconds per rep for the 15s, and about 14 seconds per rep for the 13s. And when I came to do the workout, I executed my plan almost perfectly. I did my toaster bar in sets of 15 and 10 and the dumbbell unders unbroken just as planned. And so I was off to a really good start. I was a little slower than planned on my first set of cleans, but I was still able to get to the final set with a split time of about 5:09, which meant I was only 9 seconds off my target pace. So my plan was pretty spot on. However, 85 kilo cleans for a guy of my size that weighs 69 kilos, that's about 80-85% of my max clean. So they're not exactly light, and each rep was a real effort. Where some guys in the workout really struggled on the toaster bar, that part was easy, I'm nice and light. I struggled on the heavier cleans where other people were much quicker. And I'd actually shared my plan with my judge, Kurt, and he did a great job of keeping me on pace. He later actually apologized. He said he felt really bad for pushing me, but he kept going, get back on the bar, you've got to go now, you've got to go now. So he had to apologize, but he did a great job. Unfortunately, despite my best laid plan, I couldn't quite get the work done before the first time cap, and I was just 2 reps short. I got 11 reps done. And I was just short. It was really, really annoying. And so my analysis looking back was I'd done everything almost perfectly, but I just needed to be a bit quicker on the final set of cleans. It was really just a strength issue. And I did try redoing the workout a few days later. I thought if I could go even faster on the first part, I would have more time. This did not work at all because I was more fatigued and I got a couple of no reps as I dropped the bar. So that didn't work. But so overall, it was really fun to break down the workout in that kind of way. I knew that that was a workout where I'd have to be very conscious of my pace, and it was really fun to go through that exercise. And so I'm confident that I actually did significantly better by taking that kind of deconstructing mindset to attack the workout in the most strategic way I could. Now, 19.3, this is where I really had to fix my weaknesses. 19.3, we had to complete the following as fast as possible, but there was a 10-minute cap. So we had to do a 200-foot dumbbell overhead lunge with a 50-pound dumbbell. That's about 22.5 kilos. So you've got a big dumbbell in one hand above your head. You have to lunge. Most people know what a lunge is. 200 feet. So it's actually just length of the gym. Then you had to do 50 dumbbell box step-ups. So holding the dumbbell, most people put it on their shoulders, you had to step up onto a box 50 times. That part was actually okay, did not mind that. A lot of people struggled. I actually struggled more on the overhead stuff. The box step-ups were fine. Then you get onto the hard part, 50 strict handstand push-ups. If you completed that, you could do a 200-foot handstand walk. That was not even a consideration for me. I knew I would not get that far. And this workout was really my nemesis. It was where I lost a lot of points. The issue was those handstand push-ups. And back in 2018, last year, we had handstand push-ups, and I struggled back then as well. Normally, when I do handstand push-ups in a class, you can kip. And kipping, this is where you can kick your legs like a frog to basically propel your body upwards. Remember, you're upside down, so if you kick your legs like a frog, you can shoot your body upwards. It's a great way for someone who's good at gymnastics but has less shoulder strength, someone like me, to do better. You can use your legs to propel your body. Unfortunately, in this workout, they had to be strict, which means no kipping. You have to go off brute shoulder strength alone, and I got through the first two movements reasonably well, but getting onto those handstand push-ups, I really hit a brick wall. I only got 2, and that was actually on my second attempt at this workout, so my takeaway here is that I really needed to address my weaknesses. I knew going into the workout that I sucked at handstand push-ups. I didn't do anything about it, so it's definitely something I need to work on for next year. This episode of the Paul Miners Podcast is sponsored by Text Expander. Text Expander is one of my all-time absolute favorite productivity tools because it saves me so much time when it comes to typing text and emails and any kind of common text that I have to type on a regular basis. Now, Text Expander version 6.5 for Mac OS and 2.0 for Windows sports a new visual editor for creating and updating your snippets. The new editor makes it easier to see and edit snippets and create things like fill-ins, dates, perform date math, create nested snippets, and even more. You can insert words, phrases, fill out forms, create templates, and more with just a couple of key clicks everywhere you type, not just in your email or on the web, but anywhere you do your typing. So take control of your time and productivity by letting Text Expander handle your repetitive typing tasks. And if you love telling people about Text Expander like I do, then join the new affiliate program to earn a little extra reward for sharing the love. Now, show listeners of the Paul Miners Podcast can get 20% off their first year of Text Expander. Just visit textexpander.com/podcast to learn more and to sign up. You'll also get a free 30-day trial as well. So head to textexpander.com/podcast and make sure you choose Paul Miners in the How Did You Hear About Us drop-down box. Thank you, Text Expander, for sponsoring this episode of the Paul Miners Podcast. Next, we had 19.4, and this is where faster isn't always better. 19.4 was my favorite workout by far. Finally, this was a workout that was designed for me with the movements that I'm really good at. So there was a time cap of 12 minutes, and in those 12 minutes, you had to do three rounds of 10 snatches. A snatch, if you don't know what a snatch is, it's, if you've seen any Olympic weightlifting, it's the one where the guys have, or the girls as well, have the bar, you're kind of gripping the barbell on the floor with quite a wide grip, and you're kind of crouched down, you have to stand up, and you have to whip the bar over your head and have it above your head in one quick movement. So you had to do 10 snatches. Men were snatching 95 pounds and women 65 pounds. So for men, that's about 43 kilos. Once you did those 10 snatches, you had to do 12 bar-facing burpees, which means you're burpeeing over the bar. You have to face the bar every single time. So you're sort of perpendicular to the bar. So you do three rounds of that. So 10, 12, 10, 12, 10, 12. Then you get a mandatory three-minute rest. You have to take the three-minute rest while the clock is still ticking, counting towards those 12 minutes. After the rest, you had to do three more rounds of 10 bar muscle-ups. A muscle-up, if you imagine a pull-up bar, rather than pulling just your chin above the bar, you have to get your whole body above the bar. So you usually have to swing your body up over the bar so you're actually above it, and the bar is around your hip sort of level, and you're pushing your body up over it and holding your body above the bar. So you had to do 10 of those, and then again, 12 bar-facing burpees for three rounds. So 10, 12, 10, 12, 10, 12. And your score was the fastest time you could get, or if you didn't finish, just the reps that you got. And my plan going into this was to do the snatches in sets of 6 and 4. I didn't want to do unbroken. I thought, you know, you need to save some strength. So I thought I'll go 6-4. And I have no issue with burpees, so I just thought, you know, I'm just going to go at a good pace on the burpees. And my goal was to get through the first three rounds, so that first half, essentially, within about 5 minutes, so that after my three-minute rest, I would have about 3 minutes left to do as much of the final three rounds as I could. And I went out the gate pretty fast. I got all of that first part done in 4 minutes and 9 seconds, which was about 50 seconds faster than I'd planned. And during the rest, I even said to my judge that I felt like I'd gone too fast, because I feel like now I'm knackered. And this did show on the muscle-ups. I got through the first round pretty well. I had some good sets. I did, I think, 4, 3, and then some singles. But when I got onto the second round of double unders, I was getting some no reps. I couldn't get above the bar, and I was just really gassed. I was really fatigued. And so I finished having completed about 17 total reps for the muscle ups, which is not bad, but I knew I could have done better. So a few days later, I tried again. This time, my coach, Richie, was judging me, and for the first three rounds, he was constantly telling me to slow down. He said, slow down, you're going too fast. And so while doing the burpees, I've never paid so much attention to my heart rate as I was doing that workout. I was really conscious of keeping my heart rate down. And my split time, doing it the second time, my split time for the first three rounds was about 4 minutes and 51 seconds. So I was about 30 seconds slower than my first attempt. But this meant I was less fatigued going into part two. So I attacked the muscle ups in smaller sets as well. I did sets of two, and I had more energy. So I was actually able to take shorter breaks, and I never missed a rep. So I later finished having completed the entire second round of muscle ups and burpees. So it was a really good improvement, and it just goes to show that, you know, there's a time and a place to go as fast as you can in a workout that's short enough where you can just, yeah, go balls to the wall and just put in max effort. But this was not that time. Putting in max effort at the start was not the right idea. And so it just goes to show pacing is really important. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. It was okay to go a bit slower if it meant that I could have quicker transitions and shorter breaks as well. And then finally, final workout, 19.5, which we did 2 days ago. This was just all about embracing the hurt locker. I had a really bad attitude going into this workout, mainly because I knew the workout was going to hurt a lot. We had to complete the following, and we had a 20-minute time cap. So you had to do 33, 27, 21, 15, 9 of thrusters and chest to bar. So you do 33 thrusters, 33 chest to bar, 27 thrusters, 27 chest to bar, 21, 21, 15, 15, 9, 9. So it's a lot of work. The thrusters, if you don't know what the thruster is, you have to start with the bar in the front rack. So remember that, again, that's across your shoulders. You then have to squat down, arse to the grass, squat down. You then have to stand up with the bar, and as you're standing, you press the bar overhead. So it's sort of similar to a wall ball. You're using your legs and your arms to stand up and then press overhead in one motion. Men were doing 95 pounds, which is about 43 kilos, and women 65 pounds. And then a chest to bar, similar to a pull-up, but you actually have to get your chest to touch the bar. You can make these a lot more efficient by doing what's called a butterfly. Best thing to do is just Google or go on YouTube and search for a butterfly chest to bar. You're basically kicking your legs backwards in a circular motion to actually use the weight of your legs to get your body to propel upwards. And so you're using very little arms. You're actually using the weight of your legs to get your body to move and hit the bar rather than pulling on your arms. So it's a much more efficient way of hitting that bar. So having learned my lesson from the last week, my plan was to keep my thrusters to small sets. I knew that completing the first two rounds, the 33 and the 27, was going to be a really, really hard. And depending on how you attacked the first part would determine how quickly you get through the last half. So my plan was I'll do 6-5, 6-5, 6-5 for the 33s, and 5-4, 5-4, 5-4 for the 27s. And I knew guys going in were going to do big sets, but I was like, I'm just going to stick to my plan, I'm going to do small sets. And I thought, you know, once I've done that, I'll just sort of wing it from there based on how I feel. Just before I started as well, my judge, Robin, who he'd already judged three other people during the workout, he told me as well, do the chest to bars in smaller sets. And this ended up being really great advice because I was planning on going out of the gate and doing some big sets because I'm pretty good on gymnastics. I thought I'll do some big sets, but he said he watched people fatigue very quickly doing that. And so he had some great advice breaking that down from the get-go. The workout actually wasn't too bad, as I thought it would be. My rep scheme for the thrusters worked well, the 6-5s. Even though I was taking more breaks than other people, I had more energy for the chest to bars, and I quickly started to overtake people, and I actually gained the lead. The time went actually really quickly, and I did pretty well. My downfall was when I was completing the final 15 chest to bars, I ripped the skin on my hand, and I couldn't grip the bar. I ended up using, I did have a hand grip, which I wasn't wearing, but I used that to get the final like 3 or 4 reps done, but I lost a good 30 seconds. I ended up completing 4 of the final 9 thrusters and really felt like I could have finished the workout had I not ripped my hand. So that was my bad for not wearing grips. I don't like using them. So my takeaway was, number one, wear the hand grips, even if it's just for a few rounds towards the end, and have a better attitude going in. I was kind of really nervous going in, or a bit sort of just like, oh, screw this. This is going to just suck. But I ended up getting a really good score, and I know I'm capable of doing the work, and my bad attitude just, I don't know, only added to my nerves. I could have just been more positive about it, I think, and maybe I could have got through everything a bit quicker. But overall, wasn't as terrible as I thought it would be. So, yeah, in summary, overall, I'm really happy with my performance this year at the Open. I think I finished around the 85th percentile, so about top 15% worldwide. I had really great fun and really enjoyed the community coming together to support one another. And this is definitely one of the best things about CrossFit. Not even doing the workouts, not the personal achievement, just the community getting together, everyone supporting everyone. It's for everyone of all levels. There are people doing it for the first time, scaling it, not doing all of the high scale, the recommended movements. They're doing a scaled version, and that's totally fine. It's just about showing up and giving it a go, and just getting the community together every week in that environment was just so much fun. And so the 2020 Open is taking place later this year. They're changing the timing a little bit. So if you enjoy keeping fit, if you want to push yourself physically and mentally, I highly recommend you sign up, even if you've never done CrossFit before, or maybe sign up a month or two before, get to know some of those movements. It's a really great challenge, physically and mentally, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So if you're a CrossFitter and you have some thoughts, feedback, or scores and results to share, what did you learn? What did you take away? Please let me know. I definitely want to hear from you and hear how you did and hear your advice. Head on over to my blog, paulminers.com/123, and leave me a comment or shoot me an email. Let me know what you, how you did at the Open. Really want to hear from you. So thank you for listening to this episode. I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast. Thank you very much for listening to the Paul Miners Podcast. Two quick things before I go. Firstly, if you enjoyed this episode or if you have any feedback, please leave me a review on iTunes. It really does mean a lot to me because it helps the show to get discovered so that more people can benefit from the content. And I would love your help getting the show out there. So please, if you have a minute, I would love a review on iTunes. And on that note, if you want to give me any more feedback, you can always reach out to me via my blog, leave me a comment, or if you're on my newsletter list, you can respond to any of my emails as well. I really do love hearing from my listeners and hearing what you want to learn about and getting your feedback. Number two, if you want to connect with me on a more regular basis, you can become a VIP member of my website. Head to paulminers.com/VIP to learn about my membership options and how to get access to my private Slack community. This has typically been reserved for my high-end customers in the past, but I've opened it up for the first time. So head on over to the website, paulminers.com/VIP, to learn how you can get access to my private Slack channel, where you'll also get access to my complete library of book summaries as well. One more time, thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast.